Hey, welcome to Animal Voices. I'm Mira Soleras hosting today, and I have some company in the studio, Leslie Mayhew, who will be getting involved with Animal Voices as a contributor in the next few weeks, and also eventually maybe hosting shows of her own if she's feeling secure enough. And I also have Mark Karbusitsky, who is our producer and who will be participating, giving us a hand in our interview today with Tina Harrison, who works with Canadians for the Ethical Treatment of Food Animals. We'll have her on the phone after a short musical break, and it will be very interesting to speak with her because she'll be able to provide us with some a Canadian perspective on the treatment of farm animals within the agribusiness industry. But first, we'll go to a little bit of music, and we'll be right back, so stay tuned. We now have on the phone Tina Harrison, who works with Canadians for the Ethical Treatment of Food Animals. Are you with us, Tina?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Animal Voices.
Thank you.
We're very excited to have you here because we've been wanting for so long to find somebody or an organization that would provide us with a Canadian perspective, Canadian-based information about the treatment of farm animals. So we're very excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Mark, you came across, I think, this organization. Mark is going to have to talk now. I know he's looking shy in the corner. You came across this organization through this pamphlet called The Last Ride, which is...
Yeah, Tina, it was you that facilitated this interview that was put together as a pamphlet with Jennifer Abbott, who just recently made this film, A Cow at My Table. That's how I came across your organization. I was really excited, and I found the pamphlet to be exceptional because it's rare to come across somebody who works within the food industry. This person himself was a livestock trucker, and the pamphlet is basically like a confessional of what this man has done and what he's been through and what he's seen. And it's a very important pamphlet for people to understand that it's not just animal rights people that talk about the inhumane treatment of animals within the industry, that it's people that actually work within the industry that are really frustrated and put up with a lot of
seeing horrible things and also working in difficult conditions. So was this an exceptional case, an exceptional access that you had through this man, or is it something that happens often?
No, it doesn't happen often. Obviously, there aren't enough people speaking out, but this particular person had seen so many gross incidents in transporting animals back and forth across the country that finally he got to the point where he had to blow a warning signal or, as he said, just go a bit crazy. So over a period of 2 years, he sent us reports of incidents along the way, and we compiled them first into a booklet called Operation Transport. And of the two booklets, I really recommend more the first one, perhaps, because it gives the same incidents again as The Last Ride does, but in the case of the first booklet, it hooks it up to the codes of practice that are supposed to be followed for humane transportation and obviously are not. So we have the dialogue between the trucker's reports and the supposed legislation that is processed to protect, supposedly, animals from just this sort of abuse. So it gives the public an idea of the violations that are permitted without penalty.
Who regulates the way animals are treated, or who is supposed to be looking after animals being transported, being raised for food, being slaughtered, quote-unquote, humanly and safely for humans? Who is responsible for that and or supposedly oversees that in Canada?
Well, it's supposed to be, of course, under the umbrella of Agriculture Canada and the Canadian Food Inspection Service, or agency. And those are the ones federally that are responsible for humane protection. But unfortunately, when it percolates down through the various levels of protection, we find that it becomes weaker as it goes. So incidentally, the local protection agencies, such as local humane groups And SPCAs often find their hands tied because when they translate these abuses to higher levels, they're simply ignored. More often than not, they are simply ignored. And that is a dreadful statement to have to make about the lack of enforcement in this country for our legislation.
And when they are ignored, like even when things are well documented, there's no possibility of any kind of prosecution occurring against them?
Very, very seldom do you find that a prosecution has been brought to bear and that convictions have been obtained. Very seldom. And, of course, it's budgetary cutbacks that so often are the reason for this. And inspection has been cut back. Actually, the only way stations open now to inspection across the country is West Hawk Lake at the border of Manitoba and Ontario, and they still have quite a good inspection station. But as you can imagine, it's not nearly enough for the breadth of this country to be in charge of the protection of our animals. And the very fact that so many die en route to slaughter is proof positive that the system as it is not working now and hasn't been working for a long time.
I'm wondering, is there any independent group or say like an organization that's there to protect animals like an SPCA or something to that point? Are they ever willing to prosecute an incident or an institution, or would they be intimidated by the size of this group
and
the power that they wield? Because in this pamphlet, in the last ride, this man contacted because he observed like how this one man, through disregard to pigs on his truck, he let at least 35 of them die in his truck. They roasted due to the heat, and he was so upset. He tried to contact in Ontario here. He tried to contact the SPCA in Hamilton, and then they told him to contact the head SPCA in Toronto, and then Toronto told them to call like Burlington SPCA, that it's not their region. So it seemed like nobody really wanted to touch this.
To take it on.
You're absolutely right. And so many areas where this story should be brought out really back off, because there's a lot of intimidation in this, and certainly for people who are working within the industry, it's almost impossible for them to continue in their jobs and be any sort of a reporter of incidents that they feel are not acceptable to humane standards in Canada. Either they would be fired or quite ostracized, I suppose is the word, by their co-workers, mm-hmm. and their positions would be just untenable one way or another. Now, as far as the SPCAs are concerned across Canada, they bring to bear, I think, what they can in the way of prosecutions. But it's very difficult to get, for one thing, to get them recognized in the courts. Now, we're hoping that there will be changes to the criminal code that will allow better opportunities to bring these things to public attention through the law. But at this point, there is not. And there is almost no way in which cases that are not accepted by the federal department or the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, if they don't accept them as cases that could win in court, then they simply ignore them. Now, in British Columbia, there have been two cases brought to court in the last 3 years, which are obviously not enough, considering the numbers of animals that die on the way to slaughter. And there's been one successful prosecution resulting in a conviction, but most often they simply don't get past the waiting period, and lawyers juggle between themselves, postpone hearings and so forth until really the case just dwindles away to nothing and is never heard of again. This is the way it is, unfortunately, with animal cases, and hopefully this new criminal code, which is in the making, will give more opportunity for the essentials of animal protection, which is the public involvement in prosecutions by witnessing and bringing these atrocities to the attention of the authorities and then moving them towards the courts for resolution. I know it sounds complicated, but it's not. It's so simple that it comes down to the public has to get involved. And it's not so much always a case of the Humane Society is washing their hands of things because they feel helpless. It's more that they don't have public support. And we as an organization dedicated to the reform of farm animal conditions and abuses feel this very often, that we are not supported because people think for a 5-second attention span that, oh, yes, this is dreadful. Oh, yes, somebody must do something about it, but not me.
Mm-hmm. Again, on the on a comparison between the U.S. and Canada, all the video footage, a lot of people get involved in the animal rights movement as a result of seeing images of the dreadful conditions in which animals are raised for food and the brutality that goes on in the killing plants and in slaughterhouses. But all these images, again, either come from Europe, from what I've seen, or the United States. What do you know of the situation here in Canada, the situation with regards to the treatment of animals in factory farms, the treatment of animals in slaughterhouses, and also of the intensive of the farming and processing methods?
Well, the methods are very similar to the United States. The thing that's not similar and is crucial to all of this is the fact that in Canada, the public and the media are simply not allowed to approach these various facilities, either from the intensive farming point of view at the start, right through to slaughter. It was an opportunity that we were able to get about 8 years ago that we went into 4 slaughterhouses and we were able to view at very close range all the accepted methods of slaughter. But needless to say, there was a bit of excitement at the official level owing to the fact that we had been given access to these facilities, and it's very, very difficult. I would like to challenge, as I have many times, members of the media to go to these operations and ask for admittance. Whether it's factory farming at the source or whether it's at the end of these animals' lives, things are very, very, they're very stonewalled. It's the only expression I can think of, but in Canada we have wonderful ways of closing doors. In the United States, public information is considered to be not a privilege but a right. And so at their peril, they exclude members of the public and the media. They just don't do it. I'm sure that you've recently read about the new exposure of slaughter facilities in the States. Jill Eisnitz has written a riveting book on that. Well, we simply would not be able in Canada to compile the information to do something similar. And it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have freedom to move in the same way that they do south of the border.
So where do you get your information or what you know at the moment?
Well, we do from various short and very incomplete, I must say, visits to these factory farms establishments. We have been able to get into enough of them to know what's going on in a small way, but it's very difficult to get the support of, say, the large mainstream media because they don't know. They haven't been, and their editors, when it comes to the print media, are extremely nervous. Advertising, and a lot of it comes from this huge financial empire, which is agriculture, and if there ever was a David and Goliath situation, it is here and now. I would say that the greatest clue comes from Agriculture Canada itself, and most of our reports have been received from them, which is a strange contradiction of what I have just said. But official reports will give us statistics without fleshing out the actual scenes of the operation. And I think it's worth giving you one statistic in all of this, and this is the dead on arrival statistics from Ag Canada that in 1998, more than 3 million animals were delivered dead at slaughter. This is as a result of transportation, abuse and illness and injury.
So that's what people would call downers.
Well, some of them are downers, yes. Some of them don't even arrive breathing. But in the case of downers, this was a very, very protected area of the industry. And when we first brought this to attention, the local SPCA said, oh, well, this only happens in the States. This is a famous phrase in Canada. It only happens in the States. But fortunately, we had an intrepid investigator in our society in Toronto, and she took some undercover footage of the agony of a downer that was delivered to slaughter. And over a period of 2.5 hours, they tried to drag this animal out of the truck and onto the slaughter floor by ropes and chains. When that video was, we didn't publish it, but we did notify the authorities that this had been done. It finally came out that in Ontario alone, 700 downers a month are received at provincial plants. And a result of this footage was that the facility itself was closed down. So it did have, in that particular case, a happy ending, but it just was proof positive as to how much there is in the way of efforts to cloak these dreadful situations, and that one has to really ferret them out oneself in Canada, whereas in the United States, as you know, they have ample footage of this and have for many years, and this is, of course, where we got our first clue that things might be almost as bad in Canada, which, of course, they are.
And, yeah, and I think that's key is to obtain that kind of footage, because a lot of people, although you might tell them what happens and go into some kind of detail, but they won't really understand fully until they actually see what it is like for an animal to be dragged
by a leg pulled in the air.
Yeah, with only like an ounce of life left in her, and just the detail of how they're treated continually and unabated all the time.
Exactly.
It's so brutal.
A lot of people also, I think, will say when we should present them videos that are made by animal rights, animal welfare organizations in the U.S. or in Europe, they'll say, well, it's, you know, what do we know about here? I don't think Canada is as intensive and as bad as the United States. So, again, if we can ever get that kind of footage and more of that footage and more reports like this truck driver testimonial, I think that can really help us just building on the information, the statistics, the images that we have that are already available from the United States. But sometimes we don't need to have as much. We just need enough evidence from here to get it clearly across to people that the situation is the same, that we're, that factory farming is and slaughtering animals on a mass scale is what produces the amount of meat that people are asking out there, whether it's in the U.S. or in Canada.
Yes, exactly. The methods and policies are so much the same. But I would say, drawing out what you have just said, that I would like once again to emphasize that our pamphlet Operation Transport is very valuable insofar as it does show, without a doubt, how the laws that we have to protect animals from this kind of abuse are regularly flouted. They're ignored. Here we have an eyewitness, a trucker who works with animals all the time, every day across the country, and he gives us a statement, an incident of abuse, and right below it we have the phrase taken straight out of the codes of practice that is supposed to be the legal guidelines for all producers and those who handle animals. And you see the contradiction right there between what his statement was and what the code tells must be the case for these animals' protection. And so you see in almost every line that there has been a violation. And, of course, these violations have been solidly ignored to the point of over 3 million animals in 1 year dying on the way to slaughter and no penalties issued.
Tina, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for being with us. If ever our show goes to a 1 hour, Wendy, we can have you again to talk much more. People can reach your organization, which is, again, Canadians for the Ethical Treatment of Farm Animals, which is based in Vancouver, B.C., at area code 604-261-3801, and they can also access your website at www.cetfa.com. Thanks a lot, Tina, for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We won't go to some music. We'll go directly into some announcements because we're getting close to the end of the show. First, we just have some really sad news. Second Ringling Brothers baby elephant dies suddenly. It's a mysterious death. On July the 27, 1999, a young endangered Asian elephant, Benjamin, died on a stopover en route from Houston to Dallas, becoming the latest casualty in a string of sudden deaths among Ringling Brothers performing animals. Benjamin's body was taken to the veterinary school at Texas A&M University, where a necropsy will be performed. In a letter to Mr. Kenneth Feld, chair of CEO of Feld Entertainment, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals urged the company to end animal slavery and abuse. These animals are not volunteers. They've been deprived of their devoted mothers and their precious freedom for a few cheap tricks, says PETA President Ingrid Newkirk. It's time to kill off the animal circus, not the animals. PETA encourages circus goers to choose the many circuses for which the show goes on without animal acts. Cirque Ingenieux, Cirque du Soleil, Circus Chimera, the new Pickle Family Circus, and Circus Oz all have opted for acts featuring only willing paid human performers. I think this news comes across very significantly because there have been a lot of demonstration and actions right in this city because Ringling Brothers was here a few weeks ago, and we've kept you really informed about what was going on. A lot of people were worried about the way the elephants were kept here, and this young elephant Benjamin that died was part of the unit that was in Toronto. So he was one of the baby elephant that people could see outside in Toronto. So that is very, very sad. There will be a vigil, I think, in memory of Benjamin on Monday, August the 2nd at Peace Garden at City Hall. It's a memorial for Benjamin. Again, the Ringling Brothers elephant who just died this week. We have about 1 minute. I want to introduce Leslie, who's been sitting there quietly studying what we're doing because she'll be starting to contribute with Animal Voices very soon. Hi, Leslie.
Greetings.
Welcome to Animal Voices.
Well, thanks for having me, Mira.
Leslie's going to get involved with the show. So did you, the show today didn't look very stressful. Did it look interesting? Are you looking forward to be on that show and ask questions like we were doing it today?
I'm looking forward with a little apprehension.
Hopefully it'll be a little less hot than it is right now in the room.
Well, we're hoping.
Yeah. So Leslie should be starting very soon. You're working with ARC2?
That's right. I am a director at ARC2. It's a wonderful Toronto-based organization that was behind much of the circus mm-hmm. protests that just happened, I guess, a few weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm. And were you at some of these protests?
Yeah, I participated in three of them, including the main one that we had on the final Sunday mm-hmm. that made most of... Well, it made the news on a lot of the local stations and got quite a lot of press, which we were very pleased with. It was also an excellent turnout.
Mm-hmm. Well, Leslie, we're very happy to have you here, and we're looking forward to working together in the future and have you contribute to this fantastic animal rights radio show. I'm sorry I'm making so much noise with the mic, but we're three people sharing one. I want to thank Zentra Mackay, our technical operator for today. I want to thank again Tina Harrison for being with us from Canadians for the Ethical Treatment of Farm Animals from Vancouver. I want to thank Mark Arbusitsky for producing the show for today and also for participating and throwing in some questions and doing the interview with me. Thanks again for listening to the show today, and I hope you're all looking forward to listening to this fantastic interview next week. And I forgot to thank myself also. Thanks a lot to Miraslay Russ for hosting the show today.